Romans 8, 1 through 4. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law, the Spirit of life, has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who act not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. O Father God, I pray that Your Word would pierce our hearts. Help me now, Lord, to speak clearly of these great, great, and wonderful things. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I would like and hope for you to look at that great verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. To picture it as an anchor. A great, massive, immovable anchor that can ground you against every storm, every possible thing that would come against you. And then picture links of a chain, unbreakable, connecting that anchor to you, to grab onto, to have a full assurance. Because that's what Romans 8 is doing here. We have that great anchor. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I pray we'd let that sink into our hearts so deep that as we go through the rest of this chapter and look at the promises of God that He gives to His children, and they go on and on and on, the link of the Spirit setting us free to give us the power to live for Him, to conquer sin and death. The link that the requirement of the law that we cannot attain has been made possible by Jesus. That Christ is in you and that we can have life in the Spirit. That we are children of God, heirs of God. That God is our Father, and His Spirit Himself bears witness in our own hearts that we are His children. That any suffering that we see or experience is nothing compared to the glory of God and what He has for His children. That we have hope for a redeemed body. I'm looking forward to that. That, think about this, another link in this chain. That the Spirit of God that is in you is praying for you. Right now. Right now, that Spirit is before God and praying for you. That all things work together for our good, for those who love God. That there's an unbreakable chain of God in His foreknowledge, predestining us, calling us, justifying us, and glorifying us, His children. That God is for us, and so nothing can be against us. That no charge can be leveled against us, and that nothing can separate us from His love. Solid, sure, absolute, unbreakable chains that we can wrap onto and cling to and will never ever be broken if you are His child. Last week, we looked at verses 1 and 2. There's no condemnation. We are justified. And the Spirit of the law of life has set us free from the power of sin and death. We can be sanctified. And we have the power then. And we saw the connection, the link between our justification and sanctification is that out of our justification, we can move into sanctification. Out of the sin being condemned, we can move forward on the path of obedience and not the other way around. Very important. Very important. Our flesh has a tendency towards fear and control. That we desire to have control of stuff, to not be afraid. And verses 1 and 2 gave us the grounds and the hope that we don't have to be afraid. That the sin that we struggle with is already overcome. The only sin that you will ever, ever overcome is a forgiven sin. Praise God. And we have to be careful we don't flip that around. And it's easy to do. We get caught up in performance. You know, much of our lives can be performance-based, right? We work at home. We meet certain expectations. We're rewarded. If we don't, we'd be punished. We have to keep it straight that we are justified and not to flip those things around. You know, and sometimes, you know, that impulse can come from a good place, right? We can be grateful. We're grateful for what God has done and we want to obey Him and we want to do what is right. But if we're not careful, we miss out on the grace that God has for us every day. And so now, today, we're moving into verses 3 and 4. 3 and 4 is basically a clarification, a restatement. It's important to be clear. It really is. We want to make sure that we are clear with things. We want to make sure, and Paul here is making sure that we understand what we talked about in verses 1 and 2. That we understand our justification, that we understand our sanctification, that we understand the order in which they come, that we understand who it is that can receive and live in these things. In verses 3 and 4, we see two things that the law cannot do. So he comes back to the law. In this case, he is talking about the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments and law there, okay? We see that in verse 3. God is done with the law, we can by flesh could not do, okay? We see two things here that the law cannot do. One, it cannot justify. The law was never meant to justify us. In fact, the law often does the opposite, doesn't it? It shines the bright light on our sin and makes it worse. And the law then cannot sanctify us. It cannot empower us on the path to obedience. We try. We think we have the law. Okay, I know what to do. And so we go down that path hoping that somehow we can add up enough points to be right with God. And we fail. And we fail. And we fail. Because our flesh cannot do it. My daughter Emma mentioned a third thing the law cannot do. It cannot dance. I don't know what that means, but it's true. Ask her about it. The things you get in dinner time conversations. So 3 and 4, we're looking at a restatement then of 1 and 2. In verse 3, we see Paul telling us again about our justification. In verse 4, he shows us again what it is and where our sanctification, the power, comes from in that sanctification. And so, what I have for us today then, I'm going to give you six observances, six thoughts on verses 3 and 4 and what God is telling us. And I pray that, as Paul, I think, is doing here, that it would be clear then, crystal clear, rock solid, foundational, clear to all of us, of what God has done and is doing for us. Observation number one. God condemn sin in the flesh. So Paul's clarifying here when he says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He's clarifying first off that it's God who does it. God makes the move. Because he's the only one who can. He is the one who has to have it happen. Because we are helpless without it. Our flesh will not go that direction. And so it clarifies then that connection between verses 1 and 2 that the condemnation comes first. God makes the move. Observation 2 is how he did it. He did it by sending his son. And it's interesting, he says, he sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Two phrases we don't hear very often. And I think what Paul's doing, again, is clarifying. He wants to make clear exactly what has happened. What is likeness of sinful flesh? Well, you know, pretty easy. You can say he came in a body as a man, right? But it's interesting to say in the likeness of sinful flesh. Because there are those, even today, who have tried to explain that Jesus could be God by saying when he came, he wasn't really flesh. He was kind of like flesh. But not like you and I exactly, the likeness of flesh, okay? And that's a heresy. It's not true, okay? He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, meaning that he was like our flesh, but he lived it perfectly. So he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe that what it points to here is he came as a sacrifice. He came for sin. So God condemns sin in the flesh by his son who came in the likeness of the flesh and for sin. And so whose sin then is condemned? It's not Jesus' sin, is it? It's our sin. God condemned our sin in Jesus. So we're making it clear that those who are in Christ, those who can experience this justification, are those who put their faith in Jesus. There's no other way. Nothing else can be done but by the sacrifice of Jesus in likeness of sinful flesh and for our sin. Our sin is condemned. And God did it. Observation 3. The law was not able to do this. Right? As I mentioned earlier, the law was never intended to do this. Even in the Old Testament, and Sherry and I had an interesting conversation about it, even then, the law did not save anybody. Even then, it was God's grace. Even then, it was by faith. They had the law. They could see what was right and wrong. They still fell short. But by faith, they looked forward to Jesus in the same way that we, by faith, can look back to what Jesus has done. That's why they had the sacrifices. That's why they had to go through all this rigmarole to try and show and point to what Christ was going to do. The law cannot save us. And the reason then, point number 4, is because our flesh. The reason the law can't do it, because if you could obey the law perfectly, you'd be good with God. He would say, okay, great. You're in. But because of the weakness of our flesh, because our nature, our inborn, the way we came out of the womb nature. And that's what the flesh is. It's not talking skin and organs and hair, okay? It's talking about our orientation away from God and towards this world. The great exchange that early in Romans, we exchanged the glory of God for things. And so we see that the reason then is because our flesh is weak. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Our flesh is weak. In fact, if you remember, it seems like so long ago, I can't hardly believe it. But the second time I was here visiting, right? You remember what I preached on? Ephesians 2. And you were dead in your sins. You were dead. But God, who is full of mercy and love, made us alive. We need Him to make the move. We need Him because our flesh is weak. And in fact, by nature, we are dead. So it makes it clear. Again, see the clarity of what is happening, of our justification. That God did it. He sent His Son to do it. Our flesh could not do it. The law could not do it. And so the glory goes to God. God does it in us. Number 5. God's condemning of sin in the flesh through Jesus allows sinful people to fulfill the law. That is our sanctification. So you see in verse 4 mirrors verse 2. For us to have any hope to follow God, to obey Him, is because of what Jesus did. Because He took on our sin, because we are justified, because God can look at us and see not guilty, and we have hope, and we can move forward. Because we still sin, don't we? Our flesh still battles us every day. Every day. We face it over and over again. But because we are justified, because of what Jesus did, then that fulfillment of what the law requires can be done. Because we are justified, we can move forward on the path of obedience. And no other way. That again, making it clear here. You could look at the law and work really hard. And there are, I mentioned before, there are disciplined, strong people out there who by their own strength can put forward the facade, the appearance of good, godly people and not be at all. Because they are trying in their flesh and they will fail. And because, point number 6, the ability and the power to live and to move forward in sanctification, in the path of obedience, comes not by the law and not by following the rules, but in a new way, by the Spirit. Some of our Christian circles, we get kind of spooked out by the Spirit, right? Ooh, Spirit. And maybe you think about, you know, crazy charismatic services and people jumping around and falling over and laughing or whatever it is, right? And so, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to take any chances. I'm going to sit on my hands and make sure they don't go up on me, all right? We're going to go there, all right? But we are spiritual people. And it's interesting, in the chapter 8 of Romans, Paul talks about the Spirit 19 times. 19! More than anywhere else in all of his writings. In this one little chapter. And 11 of those instances come in verses 1 through 11. Over and over again, he talks about the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. By the Spirit. Flesh versus Spirit. We don't want to be the flesh. We want to be the Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with us, in us. The Spirit intercedes for us before God. We have to be people of the Spirit and to live that way. Next week, we're going to talk then about those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And go, okay, what is that? But here today, we see that the power and the ability to fulfill this requirement of the law by the sacrifice of Jesus comes through God's Spirit who lives in those who are His. It's a new way. It's a great way. It's the fulfillment of what God has for us and always had had wanting for us. Okay, so let's be clear. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The in Christ Jesus means, and that condemnation, no condemnation, means that God made the first move. That God sent His Son. His Son obeyed, lived a perfect life in the likeness of the sinful flesh to be our sacrifice in our place and die and take on my sin so that I can be not condemned and I can live today in the forgiveness of what He did for me. It's only through Jesus. It's only through Jesus. My desire for us, as we look at Romans 8, is twofold. Two things I want for you more than anything else. One, the assurance that comes from these words. That you can know beyond a doubt that you are not condemned, and if God's Spirit is in you, even though you're frustrated, even though it seems like everything's against you, even though it may seem like that some sin just won't go away, that God's Spirit will bring you forward and will continue on and He will be with you. You can have that assurance. It is rock solid anchor and chain link that cannot be broken. Please be assured. The question that comes out of that then is, are you in Christ Jesus? Are you in Christ Jesus? And we have to check our hearts. You have to know it's not the performance. It's not doing the right things. Far too many people who would say they follow Jesus do it in the duty and drudgery. Yeah. Sure takes the fun out of life, but at least I'm not going to go to hell. That's not the Christian life. That's not what God wants for us. I was thinking this morning, I took a little walk, and I thought again how wonderful the picture of marriage is in our relationship with God. I mean, think about that. That's what marriage is about. It's a reflection of what God is. And if you are married and you come into your relationship and treat your relationship with your spouse as one of duty, say, yeah, I'll give you a kiss because, yeah, it's my duty. You know, you're my wife, I guess. I gotta. It's part of the deal, right? You can have a sore cheek. It's not your duty. It's your love. Think about that in our relationship with God. God doesn't want your duty. He wants you. He loves you. I come to my wife and I kiss her. Not because I have to. I should because we're married. Because I think she's awesome. She's beautiful. I adore her. I want to know her more. I think about her all the time. I hate it when we're apart. Is that your relationship with God? And this is for all of us, young, old, children. Look at your hearts. Do you treasure Christ? And you think, maybe I don't? Do you want to? That's an important distinction. If you want to, if you feel that you're falling short, ask God. And He will answer that prayer, I guarantee you. He wants you. We have to treasure Him. We can have that assurance. And then my second thing that I want for you more than is freedom. We have been set free. We are free. We are free. I've lived too many years of my life burdened by sins that are forgiven already. I've lived far too long, far too often. Being overpowered and thinking I'm alone. I'm thinking that I got to get this right because otherwise my prayers aren't going to get answered. And you know, and looking at my life and something bad happens and I go, oh, I know why that happened. It's because I sinned yesterday. No. No. You are not condemned. The Spirit of the law of life has set you free. Jesus came in flesh and died. I am free. Oh, people, I want you to live in that freedom. I really do. I want you to have that rock-solid assurance and the unbreakable links of His promises of assurance that He gives to us by His Spirit to live in the freedom. Because then everything else can come. Everything comes out of that. You want to reach the world? You feel a burden for those who are out there? You're free to do that. You can speak up. You can say things, and not because you're afraid or you have to. It's just who you are. It's who we are. So today, please, look at your hearts. Even right now. Even right now. If God is speaking to you now and saying, I love you, I want you, come to Him now. You can pray that right now. If you feel like you do love Him, but it seems like I get flip-flopped, my justification, my sanctification, that you fall into that trap of performance, that you fall into that trap of I'm not good enough. Come to God today, right now, and ask Him, and He will come to you. He will. If you have any questions about any of these kind of things, you want me to pray with you, I will. I would love to pray with you. But don't go home today if God is speaking to you about these great, great things. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's hold on to that anchor. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your presence with us now. And Lord, I pray that as You are working in someone's heart, Lord, if You are knocking at a door today, maybe for the first time, maybe there are those here who have gone to church and maybe made a commitment at some time, but don't treasure You, who come to You out of a sense of duty. Lord, I pray that Your love would break through and that today would be their day. I pray for all of us. Lord, we all fall short. We know that. I pray that and ask God that by Your Spirit, You would show us and help to relieve that burden of sin as we desire to please You in our lives. Bless us now as we go into a business meeting and speak of things regarding Your church here. And I pray this week that that rock solid anchor of no condemnation would be on our hearts and our minds at every turn. I pray in the confidence of Your Spirit in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go with God in the security and assurance of Him. Amen.